Well, I'm really happy to be here today with a couple of members of the Twilight Sad. We have James, who's the vocalist, and we have Andy, who plays guitar. And you guys just finished up a little 30-minute set at M Theory in Mission Hills. Can you tell me just a little bit about what the difference? You jokingly said, James, that this was your Simon and Garfunkel bit. Can you tell us a little bit about how you prepare for a small intimate show like this versus what you'll play for tonight as a five-piece?
Not to say that we don't put any thought into it, but we don't put too much preparation, just because me and Andy, that's how we wrote the songs, like just stripped back, so we pretty much know them inside out like that. So it's kind of nice just to turn up and not have to worry or stress about how loud this is going to be, how like the loud kind of stuff that we usually do, where you've got to get the balance right for sound, where you can just go and turn up and just play the songs. All you have to think about is just playing instead of anything else. So yeah, it's nice to just turn up places and be able to just play instead of sound checking the snare drum, all that kind of stuff. but I mean, that has its place, obviously, but like I think it's nice to just turn up. And Andy and I have been doing this, like the acoustic stuff, a lot more recently. I think it's nice to have a bit of variety between the two, and anytime we do it, we get a really nice reception. People are always really nice about it. But it's good for people that came to see that today, will saw that, and then they'll be able to see the full noisy stuff later.
You'll probably be melting our faces tonight.
He will.
Okay, very good. Yeah, with your guitar. Perfect. I love it. James, you mentioned that this is how you and Andy operate. You collaborate on a song stripped down like this acoustically. I think I've heard that Andy, you come up with the music first, and then James, you match the vocals. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Andy?
Well, normally I'll just kind of sit in the house and write some music, and then I'll, because of technology these days, I'll just email it over to James, and then James will just, we'll just keep on passing it back and forth kind of thing, until it, you know, gradually kind of turns into some resemblance of a song, you know, and then it's just kind of, once we get it down like as a kind of strip back type thing, I just then start building up the kind of production side of it and the actual kind of sounds that are going to be on it and stuff. So yeah, it's just like a bunch of email and stuff back and forth, you know.
And so this is how it worked for this album. This is your fourth album, and it has a long title, Nobody Wants to Be Here and Nobody Wants to Leave. So it's pretty much how it worked this time?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it's worked on nearly every record. I suppose in the first record, maybe I'd go over to Andy's house because the internet wasn't as good. Where we stayed, the internet was pretty much like dial-up all the time. And I think once we realised that we didn't have to be in the same room as each other, we were like, all right, that's better. He's like, I need to get away from him. But it's easier that way as well. Like, not that it's, I suppose when you're sending ideas back and forth to each other, and you got them in the, like for me anyway, when I've got them in the house, and I can sit in my room myself, and you can just relax and like be able to make your own mistakes and not be worried if somebody's listening. Not that I would be worried if Andy was listening or anything like that, because I've made loads of mistakes in front of him before. But like, I think that just being in the kind of having the privacy to make your mistakes, and sometimes your mistakes can turn into something pretty special. So having that luxury is pretty cool. So it's not that we don't like being in the same room as each other, it's more about like just giving each other this time and the space to be able to concentrate on our parts and try and come up with stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, I might be totally wrong here, but in listening to this fourth album recently, this last week or so that I've been listening to it, it seems to have a little bit of a bigger sound, maybe a little less dark. And I mean, I say that as a compliment, that some of your stuff is a little dark and full of ambiance, and it probably has to do with the Scottish weather, probably a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. With this record, we try to kind of look back over everything we've done and try and kind of, you know, put it all together, kind of thing, because we've had so many different kind of, I don't know, setups that we've done, like, you know, whether it would be like the kind of really noisy feedback stuff, or like what we've done there, just the acoustic thing, or with the third album, it was like really kind of sparse synth-led stuff, you know, and we wanted to kind of put all of that into one album and, you know, turn it into something new again, because although we always say we don't like repeating ourselves, it was more like taking from what we learned from all that and you know, putting it into one record. And I think it maybe sounds bigger because it does have that contrast throughout. Like, you know, like there's like one tune where it's just a piano, it's just me and James, and then there's like some tunes that's like, it's pretty big, you know. So it's probably just because it's got the all of it in there that it just makes it sound that much bigger.
Yeah, that's
true. I think it's still a dark record, but it's more, maybe more melodic. The last record had a lot of really strong melodies in it, but because we've opened up the sound, the melodies, I don't know, just came out a lot more. I think it's still dark, but in the same way, there's maybe a bit more light at the end of the tunnel this time instead of just doom and fucking gloom constant like that. You know?
You guys are maybe a little happier this time around.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know how happy, but maybe there's just a remnant of that. But like, it's the same kind of ethos we've had as writing songs all the time. It's like we enjoy the kind of darker side to things anyway, just because you can. Well, I think you can learn more from bad experiences and move forward from them, and it's good to talk about bad experiences and share them with folk, I think.
So here's a question, because you've worked with Peter Kadis on this album, and I don't know if this is the second or third time you've worked with him as producer. Second time. Peter Kadis, who has also worked with The National and Frightened Rabbit, and recently Augustine's were here a couple of times in San Diego. So I'm curious to know what relationship is, describe that relationship for me, the band and producer / director.
Well, Peter, we first met him on the first record through our record label. Do you know, it was, I think at that point he'd only done Interpol, was that right? It was in the National.
He'd done Alligator. Alligator. And then he did like, the first two Interpol records.
Aye, that's right. Yeah. And then there's a guy at the label that knew him and thought it would work really well for us to kind of work with him. And at that point, the first record, we really didn't know what we were doing. We were just winging it, basically, you know. So it was good to have somebody like that at the reins to kind of, you know, just bring it in a wee bit. But this time round, it was good because we're far more educated about it all now than what we were. We wanted to use his, I don't know, like, what he's kind of known for. It's just making everything, I like to say, reining in our ideas, because we can just go off on, like, a kind of big tangent thing. And it's good. He does,
balance between what you do. Like sometimes you think you can maybe go too far with the noise and shit like that, and then he can maybe not go far enough. So to bring it in the middle kind of ground where it's sounding like you've got the power, but you've got the clarity at the same time. I think that's the good relationship. We didn't actually go over to America this time to do it. We were just the power of the internet again, like sending stuff back and forth. But you spoke to Peter quite a lot, like,
just, you know, the old Skype every night, you know, just shouting at each other and stuff like that. But yeah, no, he done a really good job with it, though. So,
well, you guys both did a great job. I mean, the fourth album, this new album is great. Okay, I have a couple of funny questions for you. Well, actually, no. First, congratulations. You guys have just booked up South by Southwest for 2015.
Yeah.
So this will be your second time there, I think.
Fourth.
Fourth? Okay, where was I?
Is it the fourth?
It might even be the fifth. I don't know.
We've been there a lot. It's
you were there like almost 3 years ago, I want to say.
I'd say four times. Yeah, we were there on the third record. We went in between the second and third record before, and then we were there on the first record. So this is the fourth one, so we know what we're getting ourselves into. And it's going to be at the end of a tour. We're going to do a tour in late February, March. So it'll end at South by Southwest. So, but it was nice to be on the first announced acts for that. Yeah, and it's a tough festival. I enjoy it. Like, it's a good festival, but it's a tough one because you can end up playing like 10 shows in 4 days, and it's like you just got to be prepared to be lifting your stuff about, get from one place. You don't, for it not sounding perfect in your ears, you just got to go and like just give everything into it. So, but I think this time we're going to maybe just do two or three shows, maybe try and do a bit more, like maybe some more stuff like that, just to kind of break it up a little bit. So, we really want to do well over here. Like this tour especially, we it's proved to us that there's people that really care about our band. Like, there's been people like writing to us every day, and like people come to the shows with like gifts and things for us, and just being really nice to us and telling us how much our music means to them. So to have that means that we have the ability to be able to reach more people. I think if we can, if our music means that much, so to those certain amount of people, then, and they're trying to get their friends into it and things, and it's great. So we want to keep coming over and keep playing, and it's one of our favourite places to tour. Like, it's, people are really like, not just saying it, people are really, really nice over here.
Oh, very good. So actually, I have a question about fans, because I go to a lot of shows, and sometimes we have, and I don't know if it's just San Diego, but I have a feeling it's everywhere, we sometimes have some real, like, jerks in the audience, where they say things, or they toss things, but then sometimes there aren't enough people that seem to be excited at the show, like, they're not dancing or singing. Right. So, Andy, what is, like, the perfect balance of the perfect fan for you?
The perfect balance, I mean, we're
Jamesy's dad is like the most enthusiastic person you'll ever meet,
but I mean, like, we're kind of, I suppose, used to, well, the Scottish kind of Glasgow crowd is like just normally loads of people that are far too drunk to just function.
Singing back to us and things like that. You're like, I never thought we'd be a band that people would sing back to us, but in Scotland it's just like, weird. You can hear them more than when I'm singing. You can hear them over Andy's guitar.
I know, that's so, special, like, that's good when that happens, yeah. But I mean, like, I think
we just want an attentive audience who are listening, and yeah, you want to see them moving, and like, if they can get into it, they can get into it. But at the same time, we're not the kind of band who write dance music or like things like that. But like, you see people punching the air and stuff a lot, and that's cool. Like, but if there's people who are just standing there getting into it, I don't care what people do if they come to our gigs, as long as they enjoy it and listen. That's great. But yeah, you're right, you obviously sometimes you get the occasional dickhead that throws something or like shouts something at you, or like shouts freedom, like Braveheart stuff,
or Freebird, that Freebird,
died, all that
how
stuff.
Many times have you heard that already this week, like 50 times?
I've heard freedom more than I've heard freedom. That just I hate that film. But we're really lucky, actually, to be honest.
Because normally a lot of bands get people talking over them, and like, we kind of try and not let people have the option to talk by just making loads of noise, like, so they're just like, I can't hear anything, so.
And then there's the one time that, like, during, say, cold days where I'm singing on my own with just Andy's playing quite ambient, like, guitar on it, and if somebody's talking, I'll maybe single them out and look at them in the crowd and just focus. And that could end up me getting my head kicked in, but at the same time, it's quite funny. There's been a few times where, like, I've told somebody to shut up. I mean, because it's just like, people around them are enjoying it, so like, why spoil it for everybody else, you know?
Folk are paid to come and see kind of thing, so you don't want that, you know, so it's fine to shout at the crowd sometimes.
Usually people are quite scared of us, to be honest, so it's like, they don't usually say too much, but recently, our past couple of years gigs, we've not had any. I mean, there's gigs where, like, obviously there are people who are more excitable, like Seattle was a phenomenal gig the other night. It was just like people were going crazy. But then the next night, Poland were a bit more subdued, but they were listening, you know? Like, it's just different places have different ways of interacting with music, and I think that's pretty cool. Like,
Hopefully we'll all behave for you today here in San Diego. Okay, and one last song. This is kind of a funny song, I guess. A funny question, sorry. Two obvious things that I think I know about the Scottish. One, the Scottish have a great sense of humor, and Americans love Scottish accents.
Yes.
So can you tell me one other thing that makes the Scottish so very charming?
Alcohol.
It's just because everyone's drunk all the time. We're actually just arseholes, but it's because we're all so drunk, we come across, we're quite nice, you know.
Okay.
I think, what else makes us good? Down to earth. I'd say, like, we don't take ourselves, like, we make our music's pretty serious, but apart from that, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Right, like
no room for egos or anything like that. Do you know? No, in fact, even if someone tried to get an ego, you would go back to Scotland and you would get put in your place.
You would get put in your place and they would make fun of you for having, like, if you were like, and they'd be like, get away, man. So, like,
they already make fun of us for being in a band.
Because
they're just like, that's not a real joke.
So, it's a sense of humour, but at the same time, it's a humility. Is that a bit of humility? Yeah. Like, nobody's, like, it's quite funny, there is a mentality, like, sometimes if somebody's, like, even if you're doing really, really well, and people, when we go back home, like, say you go to the pub and like, they're like, oh, I see you touring here, that. But then, I remember when you were wee and you did this. You're just like,
they put you in your place.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, okay, right, fair enough, I deserve that. But yeah, I mean, that thing, the two things you said, sense of humour and, what was the other thing you said?
Scottish accents.
The accent. I've been confused for being Russian a lot on this tour. Like, they're like, are you Russian?
Russian last night.
Are you Russian? I'm like, no.
Well, there was one of your friends, Scott Hutchinson, from Owl John. As he came around through Owl John,
friend that was calling me Russian.
He was at the gig last night. So
was he?
Yeah, he lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right. The last time he was here, he was saying he went to the post office and somebody's like, "You're French, right? No, you're Spanish." And he's like, "I'm Scottish."
It's usually Irish as well, but that's fair enough. You can take the Irish one because it's quite similar. But Russian?
We do have a large Russian population here in San Diego, so maybe.
I don't think we sound Russian at all, but well, fair enough. I mean, at least they're interested in where we're from. But yeah, the question you get is, where are you all from? Quite a lot. I think those three things are good things.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I hope to make it out to Scotland for my next birthday next year. I will have to call you guys up to see if you can give me some tips. Yes.
We should try and get it around when we're playing as well.
Oh.
I don't know when that's going to be, but definitely let us know and we'll tell you where to go. Stay away from where we live because it's not the best. There's no tourist spots there. It's, unless you want to go for a drink with Mark in the hotel, you're not going to see much where we stay, but we'll give you tips.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks again, and we'll be seeing you tonight at the Irenic.
Cheers.